to roll.
All right, I'd like to call to order the Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Want to take a roll call, please?
Member Hill.
Here.
Chairman Ikeda.
Here.
Member Hageman.
Here.
Member Lee.
Here.
And Member Gehring.
Here.
This is an opportunity to do some public comment. If anybody in the audience or any of the board members wants to make public comment, do that this time.
All right. I'd like to make a public comment. I'd like to introduce the Public Works Department's new Utilities Division Manager, Ron Munns. Ron spent about 27 years with the City of San Luis Obispo's Utilities Department. He spent some time with WSC Consulting, and he's been with the county for about 2 years now, first working at as the Stormwater Coordinator and just recently promoted to the Utilities Division Manager. So I'd like to have him come up and say a few words about himself.
Hey. Clap now. Yeah. Everyone keeps saying, are you sure you know what you're doing? I'm really happy to be here. Working with the city for so many years, I was involved in a lot of water issues, of course, and had gone through quite a few droughts and water planning with them. I'm looking forward to bringing that experience to this position and really helping the South County in Zone 3 in particular. So I'm really excited about being here, and you're going to see me a lot more. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ron. And we're very excited to have him in our division.
Good deal. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we're looking for approval of the minutes from the January 18th meeting.
I'll move that.
So moved. Is that a second?
Second.
First and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, moving on to operations report.
I would like to start off with the daily operations report, and then Jill Ogren will follow up with the monthly operations report. So the daily operations report is not in your agenda packet. I just got it from our Lopez Water operators recently. I have some interesting numbers for you because I have some numbers before the rain, and then I have numbers as of this morning. The lake elevation as of March 19th was 489.773 feet, and today it is 490.79. The storage is 25,428.8 acre feet. As of March 19th, the capacity was 50%, and today we're at 51.5%. The rainfall to date as of March 19th was 8.34 inches, and that's beginning July 1st, and today it's 11.03 inches. Our plant production is 3.5 million gallons per day. The state water is 0.725 million gallons per day. And our downstream releases are 2.5 MGDs.
Okay, Jill.
Jill Ogren, Utilities Division, Water Operations. In your packet, you should have what is titled Zone 3 Lopez Project Monthly Operations Report for February. The only notable thing on this, a little unusual, is that we actually did take state water in the month of February to a total of 44 acre feet, and that was partly because we had a plant shutdown and we were doing some maintenance, so we needed to take the, and we were doing tule removal out in the reservoir, in the terminal reservoir, and that necessitated kind of taking the plant offline. So in order to provide water to everybody, we took some state water. And that's the only thing really notable. Anybody have any questions about what's shown there? Nope. Okay. Let's see. How about moving on to, what was I going to, so if you're kind of a numbers nerd, and we all are that way when it comes to water. So to add to what Andrea said about numbers, I actually, just before I left the office, I got some more numbers because it's super exciting to watch the reservoir go up. So as of about like 6 o'clock, we actually, since the in this particular storm, the reservoir came up 1.22 feet, which is 738 acre feet, and that the total rainfall at the dam was four inches. So kind of puts that all into context, and I imagine that we will continue to see the reservoir rise over the next week or so as all the runoff gets there. Let's see. So that's my lead-in to the reservoir, projected reservoir levels. So I brought one that I could read, a little bit bigger. So the projected reservoir levels represent what sort of what we call a worst case scenario. We took the 14-15 and 15-16 hydrology and the amount of water that we used in those both those years, and that's the projection. That's your orange line. But as of today, if you look right up around the April 1st tab at the bottom, if you went straight up and over just a little bit to the 25, a little bit above 25,000, that's where we're actually sitting today, 25,500. So we've made a little bit of a, at the moment, we're up there. So if we did not get any more rain, you could kind of draw a line parallel to that orange one. And so we've probably, we might hit the 20,000 mark. Maybe it might be closer to like January, February. But typically we would get rain by then as well. So definitely this is a big help, having the rain. Any questions regarding the reservoir projections?
Okay. Thanks, Jill.
Save hard.
Yes.
I just had a brief comment. I wanted to make sure everybody's aware, particularly people in the audience or people who are watching, that you can go on slocountywater.org. And, in fact, you can go on your phone. And, as an example, 7 minutes ago, the lake was at 51.8%. So you can find all that information at slocounty.org if you're interested in looking for it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great, great website. It has all the rain totals for different locations all over the place. It has stream flow. It has, and it's all up to date.
Good. Yeah, it's awesome. We're actually going to get an update on that in just a couple of minutes.
Perfect.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. So I would like you to go to page 7, please, of your packet for our climate update. So you will note that March 2018, it looks like we are abnormally dry. The conditions spread, but that was before the rain. And let's see what it looks like after. Man, I'm having some technical difficulties. Well, you can't see it.
We'll take your word for it.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, it's. It looks like the area around San Luis Obispo County is now white. So that would mean that we're not in a drought at the moment. So before, it looked like we were in abnormally dry, and as of this morning, because the map that I looked at this morning was released today on the 22nd, we are now out of the drought for the time being. And let me pull up a couple of other slides.
It's hard to believe.
4 inches of rain.
Hate to advertise that.
Huh. Nothing, huh? I'm not sure. Do you want to take a shot at this?
It's just powering up right now.
Oh.
She's saying we were here, as it should be.
Well, if you look at your packets, we have the same information on there. So now I'm looking at the NOAA temperature forecast for the month of March. So normally when I do these presentations, I always say we have an equal chance of above, below, or average. Well, this time for the temperature for March, we are below average for this time of the year. And then moving on to the next page for the NOAA precipitation forecast, we're above average for this time of the year. I'm sorry you couldn't see the slides on the screen. Do you have any questions regarding the climate update? No? Okay.
Actually, one quick question for you. So does, and I know at our next meeting we'll probably have the next anticipation, but does, what's the long-range forecast? Are we aware of what the long-range forecast is for rain? I mean, do we anticipate, I mean, obviously the rainy season usually ends until, mm-hmm. or goes until April, but I haven't seen any forecasts.
I closed the PowerPoint and opened it back up.
Okay. So as you're probably aware, I sent out many emails this week regarding weather at the Public Works Department. And according to all the information that I listened to and I reviewed, there are some maps. Thank you. This could be our last big rain for the season. I didn't see anything indicating that we're going to get any more rain, and the National Weather Service was saying that this will probably be it, other than maybe a few light showers over the weekend. So there's the comparison that I was speaking to a little while ago. So you can see there's a little white area under the March 22nd, and there wasn't last week. So that's good news.
But it does still show us in the kind of the orange for predominantly in the county, though. Am I reading that correctly? Are we not
below the straight? I guess it does. But yeah. For California, I guess. We're not completely abnormally dry.
Okay. Yeah, but San Luis Obispo still has a ways to go before we exit the drought completely.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you. And thank you for getting the screen up.
All right, any other questions about the climate update? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to groundwater levels.
Okay, we're going to have a presentation from Ray D'Enzo, and he's our engineer with our Water Resources Division.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'm Ray D'Enzo again from Water Resources Division and for County Public Works. You closed it. Okay. Let me just pull up the website real quick. As Jim Gary mentioned, it's wr.slowcountywater.org is the website. And if you hit that, it'll take you to this website. And as you can see, it has rainfall, streams, reservoirs. And the feature that I wanted to bring to light tonight is groundwater. But before that, I wanted to highlight a couple of things that might be useful to the South County here. As far as dashboards are concerned, I've added one of these dashboards that says, and if you go to South County area, it'll give you a summary of all of the data that everyone's all interested in for the South County. So, for example, rain in Arroyo Grande Creek in the last 24 hours has been 1.16 inches. Lopez Dam, it was like right around 1.87 inches. And Jill, the difference between here and there is it's a running 24-hour total. So, you know, it's in the last couple of hours, if you go from a certain time frame, it'll be more, but in the last 24 hours, it was right around 1.87. We make it in red when it goes over 2 inches, just kind of highlight it. So the Lopez Rec area, it got a little bit more rain than the dam. So just kind of some useful information. And if you click, for example, the actual dot there, you can see that, again, it'll give you just a good increments of what the rain did for that particular time. And there's some other data here that's kind of fun, like, you know, just how much it rained and actually in the last, you know, if you wanted to get into the 15-minute increments, you can do all of that. But, you know, it is something I wanted to let you all know about it because it's kind of a cool just dashboard. And, again, it's under slowcountywater.org, and if you just go down to dashboards, you can pull that up. And then you can always get to home by you can either just click home or click this icon, and it'll bring you back to the original. So, again, you can also go into individually, rain, streams, reservoirs, all of that. But something, again, that I wanted to bring to light was the new thing that we added was groundwater. Because all of these rainfall streams, reservoirs, these are all live data. Groundwater, though, it's about as live as it can be because we only measure groundwater levels two times a year. We measure it in April, and we measure it in October. So the April measurements will capture kind of like the, you know, presumably the highest level that it's going to be because it's closer to the rains. And then October, it'll capture the groundwater levels after irrigation and all of that has taken place. So it kind of captures the worst case scenario. That's why when I click on this, you'll see the difference. So what I'm calling it is groundwater level. If you click on this groundwater level snapshots, and it'll lead you to this site that of the whole county as it was about to load. There it is. So as it loads, and as you can see, we're calling it the groundwater level snapshot. So, because the idea here is that there are in the South County area, there are in our program about 184 wells that we measure just in this area. There's over 300 throughout the whole county, but in this area we measure about 184. But not all of them are, you know, are going to be in the right aquifer or in the right conditions or the right history that we have. And that's what we wanted to capture in this groundwater level snapshot. It's functioning as a key well index, if you will. And the idea here too is we want to present the data in a way that will protect people's privacy, because in the past we've never been able to share groundwater level data because it'll compromise their privacy. We have an agreement with them to not publicize it. But the way we are able to present the data, but still the desire to present the data, we're aggregating the data in these particular sub areas, and as you can see, how do you zoom in? Oh, there you go. Okay. So. These computers. Okay, so for example, in this kind of zooming a little bit into the Arroyo Grande, the South County area, you'll see that there's numbers by particular area. So what that means is that there are four wells in that particular area that we've deemed as key wells. So these wells are in consistent aquifer areas, screening levels, geographical, both vertically and spatially, to represent, it'll give a good representation of what the groundwater is doing in that particular area. So I'm going to click on this, for example, and it'll lead me to a this little hydrograph, and then if I click on that, it'll pull up like a larger picture, and then it'll show me all of the hydrographs. There should be four hydrographs in the, or three in this case three hydrographs in this area. So you can see that we have something called index. By the way, this the basin here is considered the Santa Maria Basin. So so you can see what the groundwater level has done, like just over the past, in this case, since 2011, because we, you know, we wanted to get data that was consistent, you know, within the levels that are screened. And so you can see that for here, how the groundwater level trends kind of have gone down. And then we had like some really good rains in early 2017. So as you can see, it rebounded a little bit. But when October came, it went back down, but not as low as it was compared to 2016. So those are the kind of things that you can kind of glean from this data. And you can see that there's this particular place called Index Area A, which is in the middle. When they say middle, it's like the like a middle aquifer area, because they wanted to get aquifer levels that were inconsistent levels. And so you can kind of see there how, you know, what the groundwater level did, and also in this what we're calling deep, so some of the deeper aquifers. So the idea here too, I wanted to caveat everyone, is like it's not meant to, like, again, it's a snapshot, and sometimes what happens is, like, you know, something weird happens, which kind of is unforeseen. There might be some pumping action, for example, that we don't know about, things like that. So if there is any cause for alarm, the idea here is not to make policy decisions right away based on this data, but it will be an alarm to maybe investigate it a little bit more closely. So that's something new that I wanted to present to you all. And again, we will be updating this as we collect the data. So next month we're going to be collecting the April data, and we'll be adding it to this website. So, and I think that's all I have to say about this. But I'm open for any questions. So.
Ray, do you have the same wells each of the years trending out, or do you just get representative wells? Sometimes you lose some and new ones come on board.
Good question. So, what we do is that hasn't happened in this area. Like, there are times, for example, well, the answer is it'll be the same wells. It'll be the same, for example, in this area that I clicked on, it'll be the same three wells or five wells that were picked throughout. And the intent was to go back to 2005. And the reason why I picked that was because, number one, it was it's the most reliable data that we have. We follow the more strict process as far as reporting data, and also we picked 2005 also because we wanted to also it meets our Sigma reporting standards, and it also the idea of, like, I figured that it was. That it'll be comparing apples to apples as far as the amount of development that happened back then didn't change drastically as today. Okay, because if I can go back all the way to 1970, you know, the groundwater level will be starkly different because, you know, a lot of things happened that wasn't, you know, current conditions. So anyway, but to answer your question is yes, we're going to keep the same data going all the way through. Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Just a quick question, Ray. Thanks for showing those. Obviously, with the coastal wells, one of the curiosities or the pieces of information that's very useful is representation to sea level.
Yes.
And so is there an opportunity to add that piece of information on the appropriate aggregated number of wells, or is it already in some of the well data that you didn't happen to show us?
That's definitely something I could add as a feature to this. I know that the NCMA does their quarterly reports and includes that data. And a lot of the key wells that they've chosen there, we made consistent. We've included it here as well. But we can, that's definitely something. I'm open to those kind of suggestions, like that, you know, that's useful to every region, not to all, but to some. So, yeah, I can definitely add that.
Can you zoom in again on that, the bar graph looking, that had a 0 and a minus 10 and a plus 10, I think, is that what?
Oh, like this here. Oh, okay, so are you talking about these bars like right here?
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
here? So. Yeah, yeah, so what that means is that that means that, that indicates that the groundwater level went up.
Okay, so about 2005, that you whatever the wells were at that time, you picked that as 0?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and then you just went from that date forward.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So looking at that one, I don't even know where that area is, but those wells haven't moved much at all. I mean, we're talking about it. Some of those barely visible might be a foot or so. Does that make sense? These wells around most of the wells around here are shallow. So,
mm-hmm, yeah,
a foot or two. You know, but in that 1 year when it dropped 12, 15 feet or so, that 1 year they dropped 35 feet. It looks like,
mm-hmm,
that's pretty drastic.
Yes.
Because if the standing water, depending on where you're getting these, might be 40 feet,
mm-hmm,
which means that that well's real close to dry.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I think I picked.
You picked a different one.
Yeah, I picked a different one. I think the one that I had before was over here where. I think this is the one I picked before. Yeah, this is the one I picked before where these are a little bit more shallow than the other ones. So, yeah, like, you know, this one, the depth of groundwater is, you know, right around 15, you know, at, you know, like.
Oh, okay, there it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really, really shallow. I mean, that one looks like it's 7 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right over here in 2009.
Yeah. Do you see much more drastic movement in, maybe like Paso or?
Yeah, there's some pretty drastic
movements. Where the wells are much deeper.
Yeah, we've seen some. And this particular one that we picked, it was to be expected that, you know, a lot of the shallower wells, it's not going to be, and it's going to react a little bit more easily to rain. So because you can see that right around that time was before the drought happened. So it's definitely a good way to get trends. And so if you play around with this, you can click on the other areas too, and you know, see what they're doing. It's kind of interesting. So.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, Ray, thank you very much. Excuse me, Jim.
I got one, Vard. So, Ray, I'm just thinking about the two local groundwater management areas here, one being the Northern Cities Management Area, which is managed by Roy Grandy, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, and Oceano, and then the Nipomo Mesa Management Area. So in the Northern Cities Management Area, we have what we call our deep well index, made up of a number of coastal wells, and those are all monitored on a datum of North American Vertical Datum of 1988. And we make decisions on how much we're going to pump based upon those levels. And in the Nipomo Mesa Management Area, they also make decisions on how much water they're going to pump based upon what they call their deep well index. I'm sorry, their key well index. Ours is deep well index, theirs is key well index. And so I'm wondering if it might be worthwhile to place those wells on this exhibit at some time in the future and on that datum. something to think about.
No, that's a really good point. And I had the same discussion with the NMMA, and because I didn't. The idea here was not to. We weren't going to change their method of it. Yeah. It's been vetted. So I am considering that, just separating them out completely, and showing that data here, since all of that's already been available. So
a good contact for NCMA would be Dan Heimel with Water Systems Consulting.
Okay, yeah, we'll do.
And then for Napomo Mesa Management Area would be Tim Cleave.
Okay,
Cleave Harris. You probably know him pretty well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Great. Okay, Jim. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, Ray. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Super informative.
Thank you.
All right. We're moving on. Ray, I think you're still up. We're on cloud seeding update now.
Yes. Okay. I also wanted to just give an update on the cloud seeding project. The public review for the draft mitigated negative deck closed on March the 20th, which was on Tuesday. So it was posted. There was a 30-day public review, and it ended on March the 20th. And there was and I invited we did a press release. I invited the public to view the documents. Number one, because it's kind of an unfamiliar process, and number two, there's concerns about it for how it'll affect the environment. So I invited everyone to look at it. So we did receive a lot of public comments, how it's going to be incorporated into the draft MND to make it a final. I'm not sure, but we'll go through that process. The next big date for that is going to be June the 19th is when we are targeting the date to go before the Board of Supervisors, where we're going to present the final mitigated negative deck, and hopefully if the board approves the MND, then we will also present at the same we will present recommendations on how to move forward. So the key issue, assuming all of those things happen, what we're going to present is that we need to also present a budget, which right now we're going to be meeting internally to discuss that. And also we're also going to discuss a recommendation on a detailed operations plan, because that's really the next step if everything moves forward. And a detailed operations plan is kind of hinted strongly in the feasibility study, things like suspension criteria, for example, because that's what a lot of people are concerned about. Like when in Santa Barbara, there's all of these burn scars. Are you seeding at that time? And they're not. Okay, they're not seeding in the areas where there's burn scars, but they are seeding in the areas that's going to feed into the Twitchell Reservoir. So that's the only thing they're doing. And of course, there's a lot of conditions to not have seeding. If stage levels are high, or if the reservoirs are already high, there's different things like that. They're just an example of suspension criteria. So all of that will be detailed in an operations plan, which we will also, if we decide to move forward, that's going to be presented on the June 19th board hearing. So, and again, that's in anticipation that the board will approve the mitigated negative deck, and they'll give us direction to move forward with a program. So that's the update for that, for the cloud seeding program. The documents are still available on the Public Works website, so you can still see that. And also, the idea of that was to target the two reservoirs, the two main reservoirs, the Lopez Reservoir and the Salinas Reservoir, is what we're targeting. And there's in the feasibility study and in the draft mitigated negative deck documents, there are all the sites that are proposed. The ground sites are proposed, and of course, aircraft is also proposed, but all of that can be viewed still on the website if you still want to look at it.
Okay, anybody have any questions for Ray?
Just a quick question on timing more than anything. Assuming that you get support from the board for to move forward with the program, when would cloud seeding at the earliest commence?
Well, so there might be some delay on actual like ground sites, but definitely a program through aircraft can be started right away. So if the board gives us direction to move forward, we'll be able to finish that operations plan and then probably hire a consultant, because there's a couple of expertise that's needed. I mean, you need a meteorologist and you need someone to actually look at, there's two computer models that needs to be looked at in running the program. So all of that can be done by, you know, possibly December, January, you know, coming.
So it could be implemented in the next rainy season?
Yes.
Okay. Nice. Thanks.
Go ahead. Ray, I guess one of the outcomes of the Board of Supes could be approval of the mitigated neg deck. The other could be that they recommend doing a full environmental impact report. Is that possible? I mean, and I guess depending on the types of questions you had on the document.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly if that's possible. Well, I guess the answer is it's possible. But when the environmental study was done, there was a preliminary solicitation that was already done, and it concluded that only a MND was required.
Oh, perfect. So, yeah. Okay, so you've kind of went through that in the CEQA process.
Yes.
For that. So that's good. That's what I was wondering, sort of where you were at there. Mm-hmm. Good. Great.
Yeah, any other questions about the cloud seeding?
Just out of curiosity, what kind of ground sites would be used?
Well, it's going to be the way the weather patterns move in this area, it kind of moves in a northerly, northeasterly pattern. So we would place it along the ridge near the Lopez Reservoir, and the idea is it's going to create this uplift and then take the seeding material up to the atmosphere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ray, what type of historically, what are they guessing? 20% more, 10%?
Yeah, so the feasibility study says 9% to 17%, so let's just say 10 to 15%. And what that translates to put it in perspective, is on the low end, 3,000 acre feet, 6,000 acre feet. So in the Lopez Reservoir, that's going to be about 12%, addition of water. So, 3,000 compared to the 50,000 capacity. It's a pretty good addition. And not only that, is also there's stream volume that's going to be added too, which also will benefit, as we know, groundwater. There's groundwater significance there too. So same thing, like 3,000 to 6,000 acre feet of extra water added also to the Salinas. So, and Salinas is about 25,000 capacity.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
Just had one more question.
Go ahead, Jeff.
So one more question. Now it goes back to kind of budget kind of considerations. So would this be strictly a county flood control budget item, or would there be some anticipation in the future that it would flow into the Zone 3 budget for cloud seeding within the Zone 3 drainage area?
Yeah.
So what's the discussion? Maybe that's a future discussion item.
Yeah, that's something that we will discuss for sure. We haven't met yet, just since it just closed on the 20th, but we definitely will meet. I anticipate pretty soon when we start generating the board documents. So.
All right. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Low reservoir response plan update. Jill.
So, let's see where to start. So, we've been operating under the low reservoir response plan since April of 2015. Last March or in May, we no longer met the criteria for the low reservoir response plan, so we technically left it in August, we took an item back to the board on behalf of the Zone 3 contractors who wished that we retroactively revive the LRP so that the contractors could stay underneath the LRP for another year, partly because we really weren't sure what the hydrology for the next year was going to be, and we had just barely come out above the trigger of 20,000 acre feet. That being said, we waited to see what was going to happen this winter, so it was looking dry, and it looked again like we might be triggering the LRRP maybe sometime in October. Looks like it would probably be later than that now with these last rains. But that kind of brought to light that we've had a lot of things we would like to change about the low reservoir response plan, some clarifications, maybe how we enter it, triggers for entering it, who gets to decide if we enter it, what happens, how do you leave it, what happens to the agency's stored water. So as we've basically had some growing pains through the last couple of years while we were underneath the low reservoir response plan. So moving forward, the TAC, Zone 3 TAC, kind of requested that we kind of look at the LRRP since it was looking like we might enter it again. So we've hired a consultant, WSC, to spearhead those changes we would like to make to the LRRP. And tomorrow we are having our first meeting with them. It's a workshop to kind of vet out all the ideas and kind of get feedback on what some of those changes might look like. We are targeting a rather quick turnaround on this, so we're hoping that in the beginning of April we would have a draft of the changes. We would bring it back to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee in your May meeting, looking for a recommendation to, you know, accept those changes, and then it would have to go to each of the governing boards of the Zone 3 contractors for their agency's approval, and we would take it back to the Board of Supervisors, hopefully in August. So that's kind of where we're at with it. It's just we're in the very initial steps of the LRP revisions.
Okay, any questions for Jill? All right, you did a good job, evidently.
Ooh.
Thank you. All right, you're still up, though. Don't leave.
Uh-oh.
Update on Lopez spillway assessment.
Okay. So, let's see. The Lopez spillway assessment is something that was directed by DSOD. All the high risk, I think, is where we fell somehow or other. Lopez fell into the high-risk category. We have to do a spillway assessment. So we've been keeping up to date over this. So the latest update is that we completed the RFP. We put it out to bid. Wednesday, we had a job walk with seven firms that were interested in bidding on this. We think that there may be others out there that are going to also bid because we had a huge number of people come out for two other projects we're doing, which was the terminal reservoir assessment and a left abutment issue we're having. Some of the same contracts or consultants that came out to look at that job walk, which was like 20 different firms, we believe that some of them, now that they've walked it, will probably try to bid on this as well. So we're expecting a good turnout. That being said, I believe we will have we will award a contract in May. So it's out to bid. I'm not really sure when the bid closes, but we should evaluate them and be able to come back and award the contract. So that is that's what's happening right now. It does meet. We did have a milestone. Our milestone this year was just to get the RFP out before the end of the fiscal year and get somebody on board. That being said, that the actual work of the assessment and whatever comes out of that, the final report probably won't probably won't see that till November, possibly. It just depends on what they find and the next steps after that initial assessment. Questions?
Just one quick one, Jill. The scope of that, or the it's a professional services contract, so it's not like we have to award it to the low bidder. We can award it to the most qualified, correct?
Correct.
And what's the, you got a dollar range as far as kind of the scope of what you what you're guessing?
Let's see. Do I know that? Hold on. I do not know what that is going to be. I don't.
Must have done a budget estimate.
I know. I'm thinking.
Lucky, yeah. We have finance here. A dollar amount is not coming to my head on it. It is. We're kind of calling it non-destructive testing because it's more like looking at all our plans and our as-builts and all the documentation that we have to see if that kind of narrows down the scope of what we need to do to actually look at the spillway. So,
and again, this 50, was a
less than 50,000.
And this is she's looking follow up to the Oroville.
Correct. I mean, DSOD, exactly.
Is why they required that.
Yes.
Real quick, we didn't have any budget in 17-18. It came up mid-year, so I don't have an estimate.
All right.
Sounds like more than 50, but less than 100. Probably not. Yeah.
That's how we work.
And, well, I'm okay with that.
Round numbers.
I think that just
let me just look at one other thing that I happened to bring.
Gives us, and I think the public, some range of.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I do. I can tell you some numbers regarding the structural assessment of the terminal reservoir and the left abutment assessment together. Those two both together came in at
$89,000. Oh, for the...
So, and I'll update that. I'm not up again. I have a project update down a little lower, the capital projects update. I'll fill you in on that stuff.
Yeah. And again, I'm trying to, as I sit on the technical advisory committee as well, I should know the number myself. And I thought that's what I was thinking, but I was looking for confirmation, you know, in that 50 to 100,000 range is kind of, I thought, what we talked about.
I'm not sure. You know, maybe partly we don't know what to expect. This is why we have the consultant. We're not entirely sure, like, what it takes to do this.
Spillway assessment.
Right. Yeah. We do have a work plan that was approved by DSOD.
Right.
John Hollenbeck has been one of the individuals that helped us pull that together and write the scope of work, et cetera. So I just don't have a number even off the top of my head. So, yeah. But I like somewhere between 50 and 100. That sounds good.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? Hey, Jill, I know that assessment is... Once they complete that, do they make a recommendation? Is it just making a recommendation? And then what if you don't like their recommendation?
I think what we're going to see out of the assessment is either they're either going to determine that they need to do destructive testing, like they might actually have to, you know, get into the actual spillway, like either cutting or...
Yeah, into the concrete.
That could be a recommendation that they, like maybe just out of the information that we have, they weren't able to feel like they could say for sure that everything is solid. So I think what we'll get out of that assessment is maybe next steps. We think you need to do a little bit more. We need to do some, you know, destructive testing. Maybe we need to, you know, flush some of the drain lines, whatever that might come out of it. So that will determine probably the next step after that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Mark did sound pretty confident that our dam's in good shape, though.
Yes. Yeah, that so far, everything I've heard, that's the way it's looking. The good news is that we did that seismic retrofit, and when we did that, we also took some studies that were done in the 90s, and we, you know, work that we knew we needed to do, and we did it all at that time. So it's pretty new in terms of dams and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So, and we have good as-built, so.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Anybody else? Go ahead, Jeff.
Maybe just a quick question. It looks like, and maybe not to take away from Christy with her budget report, but on page 14, it looks like a structural assessment terminal reservoir dam is budgeted at $50,000.
Yeah, that was the terminal reservoir.
That's the terminal.
And then
so
this is a spillway for the main dam.
Okay, so
they're
that's
separate.
Okay, so it's not part of our capital program yet.
No, exactly. This is the spillway assessment was an unbudgeted because I believe we got the letter in October of last year, so we had already made the budget. So unbudgeted.
All right. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
Christy, now you're up with the second quarter budget status update.
Thank you. Christy Smith, County Public Works Finance. So just to kind of clarify with Jill, I think... So looking at the documents, Jeff, that you were just looking at, so that's the 17-18 update that I'm going to be giving now. So Jill was correct. The spillway was something that came up mid-year, so it's not included in there. And I'm trying to think, when I do the budget review tonight, we'll look and see. I can't remember right off the top of my head if it was something that we budgeted for in 18-19 or not. But if so, you'll see it in my next presentation. So this is the 17-18 second quarter budget status report. The report is for July 1st through December 31st, 2017. At the end of the second quarter, expenses totaled 36% of the annual budget. In your packets, there are three graphs reflecting the budget versus actual expenses. The first graph displays routine operations and maintenance, and at 50% of the year, expenses were 46% of the budget, resulting in approximately $2 million of available balance for the remainder of the year. The second graph displays non-routine operations and maintenance, and at 50% of the fiscal year, expenses were only 15% of the budget. This results in approximately $507,000 of available balance for the rest of the year. The third graph displays capital outlay. At 50% of the fiscal year, expenses were 13% of the budget. This left us roughly $1 million for the remainder of the year. All agencies are current on their payments, and that's the end of my report. Short and sweet. Any questions?
Anyone have any questions for Christy?
Actually, my question is actually not for Christy. It's actually more for Jill or maybe Ron. In the fact, and I ask this question every year. So at 50% of the year, we've only spent 13 to 15% of the budget. And I realize the construction typically comes into the third and fourth quarter budgets. But what's the estimate for how many of these capital outlay projects are going to get completed this year?
I have that. Because I knew you'd ask.
Okay,
as
great.
We segue into the capital update. Is that all the questions for me? Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Jill, why don't you step back? Thank you.
So I wanted to point out a couple things on that capital outlay that Jeff is showing how the line is not on target with our green line. Some of the projects that she listed below are actually completed. And so if they're completed and there's still balance available, it's because we saved money. So even though we didn't spend, you know, our line is not meeting that, some of that's because we actually saved money. So, for example, the sixth membrane is completed. The parking lot's completed. The ammonia analyzer is pretty much done. It's showing us 0%, but it's just because the actual item has not made its way through the invoicing process, but it's on order and should be here next week. The pH suppression, that's a hard one to talk about. That's completed in terms of our temporary, which might become our permanent solution. So the dam intake facility, an assessment, that's the one that I told you about, the structural assessment of the reservoir and the fault zone. We're in process. We have a consultant on board, Rizzo International, and they started yesterday. So they've been gleaning information and looking up stuff and working on that. We believe that should be done and have the report on both of those by early May. So that will come off the list. The equipment storage garage design, that's kind of in process. We're still working on it. The pressure transducers, along with some meter replacements that we're doing for Rio Grande and Pismo, that work will happen in May, and they're going to be done together. So that'll be a big expense that will all of a sudden make the line get closer to the green line. It'll jump up. The Lopez Water Treatment Plant safety upgrades, we're working on some implementing some changes at the plant to some of our bigger facility or processes there, the dissolved air flotation basin and the membrane building. So we're working on those. We did purchase the vac trailer. That's and I believe they're going to actually physically get it next month. Replace membrane feed pumps. We're working on that as well. The PLC replacement and programming, that was completed. Replace the membrane strainers, that was completed. So, in a nutshell, we had 16 projects scheduled. One project that was unscheduled, that's the one, the spillway assessment. We had two projects that were holdovers from the previous year. So coming on our plate at the beginning of last year, we had 19 projects. We have 8 complete as of today, 5 more by the end of the fiscal year, and 2 others, and as although they won't actually be complete, we will have met our milestone, which was a portion of the project. For example, the design of the storage building. We'll have completed the design, but we won't have actually built the building. So that's kind of where we're sitting. Let's see. I think they hit all the things I wanted to say. Oh, and another project we completed was the Thule removal. So that got done. That was good. So we've made a lot of progress. That's huge. I can easily say that with having a dedicated engineer to Lopez that supports all the projects, this is more than we've ever completed in the history that I have been with utilities, probably since 2009. So we've made a lot of progress. So I think we're just going to keep moving on that. Seems like we're moving strong.
And I think Jill makes some great points with regards to how much work has been accomplished. I think there's the pH suppression, as you mentioned, the temporary solution may become the permanent solution, which is half the budget. And so perhaps as part of the budget, whether it's this year, once the permanent solution is decided, we need to kind of figure out what is going to happen with that funding, whether it's basically becomes the carryover for next year's capital programs or goes back into reserves or some level of discussion because if I recall, that was kind of a mid-year add to the capital program outside of our typical
a year ago.
A portion of it came from reserve, so right. You know, there's the option to pay back your reserves, there's an option to, like you said, roll it forward. You know, we have a spillway assessment, which we're a little bit unknown on what's going to happen with that. So, and I think Christy's got that scheduled for maybe in May to have that. When we have a little bit better picture of where we're going to end up at the end of the year.
Right, and assuming that the pH suppression and scale control temporary solution holds and becomes the permanent fix.
Yeah, okay. It's working really well right now. So,
okay, thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Would it be helpful for everybody else, if you had a completion, I don't know, as a list maker,
I noted that to the staff report writer that we needed to put down like our accomplishments so that we can get the full picture of what we've been doing and finishing. So he's going to add that on next time.
Right, any questions?
I was just curious why the assessments are on the capital budget as opposed to maybe non-routine O&M.
Let me look here. So this is always a little bit of a tricky thing because what in finance is considered a capital improvement can be different.
Yeah, come on up, Christy.
Feel free.
So normally they would be considered non-routine O&M, but what happened was about this time a year ago when we were doing the 17-18 budget, I didn't get the full picture, did not realize that they were assessments. And at the time, we had them listed in the budget as, let's see, which ones were you looking at? I was thinking the geological, the left abutment. I'm trying to think. We kind of renamed it a little bit, but it was the left abutment, and then I think it was the tanks. Was it the terminal? I can't remember the second one, but there were two of them that, with all the information I'd gotten in preparing the 17-18 budget, I assumed and I thought they were capital items. Later on down the road, there was clarification that, oh, no, they're just assessments. So for the continuity purposes, I've left them as capital outlay because that's what matches the proposed budget books that you guys originally had received. So we're just kind of leaving them in the same category all year long.
Okay, thank you for the explanation.
Yeah. Actually, I'll just stay put. I'm up again. Okay. Right. We've already got our slide up. So, Christy Smith, County Public Works Finance. So, I'm here to talk about the 2018-19 proposed budget.
And this just to clarify, this, we're on the action items now. So,
oh, did I skip?
No. You did not skip. You did not skip. We're on item 8.
Yes. There we go.
Action items. I just wanted to clarify that because these are things that we're going to need to vote.
Yes. And actually, I'm going to hand out something really quickly. I'm just going to hand out a hard copy of the slides. Okay, so the 18-19 proposed budget review. Let's see. There we go. So tonight we'll go over the budget review process really quickly, and I'll do a quick budget overview, and we'll have a quick question and answer. So our process is in December. We took the non-routine and capital outlay projects. They were identified and prioritized by the TAC. In January, we took the budgets and distributed them to your advisory committee. Last month, they were distributed to the TAC, and I've also met with the finance committee. And tonight, I'm hoping for your endorsement. And if that goes well, then we go to the Board of Supervisors in June for their approval. Okay. Budget overview. So this is just a summary of the variance discussion that's at the beginning of the budget book that you all got. So really quickly, the overall billings will increase by 2.9% from the prior year's budget. Our routine O&M category is going up 4.3%, and that's due to several factors. We've included $81,000 for a new Department Automation Specialist 3 that's going to work on SCADA issues. Right now, we don't have anybody in-house that does the programming that we need, so we've been relying on vendors. We've had a $30,000 increase in the staff time, and that's mainly because we had a split that began maybe a few months ago with our staff no longer does wastewater duties, so they've got more time now to devote to the plant and to meter station maintenance, so we're going to see a slight increase in our costs. We've also included $25,000 for consultant work on the Quagga Muscle Response Plan update. Moving on to non-routine O&M and capital, combined, they're going up 8.6%. The non-routine O&M is increasing compared to last year, and that's mainly just because last year we had a lower than normal amount of items on our budget. We had a really kind of low budget in that category. So this year we've returned to a more normal level, so we've increased since last year. Capital outlay, we've actually dropped, instead of billing you at the customary $550,000, it's down to $505,000. And that's mainly just because when TAC looked at the projects that they wanted, they were looking at both non-routine and capital, and we have more non-routine this year, so a few less capital, I assume. No contractor-funded reserves were included this year. Debt service is pretty consistent from year to year. It dropped 0.4%. It should remain consistent until the bonds are paid off in 2030 or we refinance. And next month in April, I will give you an updated five-year plan. The reason you got the handouts was to see this last year. Nobody could read it up on the screen. So this table displays the labor hours for O&M, and it begins with 07-08 and runs through an annualized amount of where we think we're going to end 17-18. 07-08 had the highest number of hours listed, and that's due to the startup of the plant. And from there, you can see that the hours decrease and finally level off. And then I've noticed that with 16-17 and 17-18's columns, they seem to be on the rise again. So that looks like it's due to just operations staff. Last year in 16-17, our operations staff were battling the scaling of the equipment, all the pH suppression project and all of that. So, of course, we had increased labor hours. And this year, again, to mention the separation of wastewater and water duties, our staff is going to be concentrating more on the plant, so our hours are increasing. That is the end of my report, and I'm hoping for your endorsement. Any questions? Yes.
Did the labor hours include, you said, operation staff? Is that also, like, till is that, like, time, like, my time? And
yes. So the orange bar for utilities division, well, Jill's right. We did have some new engineers on staff. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
We did.
You have a designated engineer now working for you.
We did. We have a few new staff members in the office with Jill. But when I looked, because that was my first thought, was that they were the ones that had increased the hours. They were a small fraction. It was mainly the work orders, the corrective and preventative maintenance work orders that had the bulk of the increase. That was surprising. But we do have some new office staff, but primarily those are the reasons I gave you on the screen that were what I saw that increased those hours. Any other questions?
So, Christy, the number of staff, I mean, if you just kind of did some, well, round numbers, I guess, or just kind of think about, there's a certain number of 10 people or so, it seems like if you figure 2,000 hours per person, and or maybe 11, you know, it's kind of in a personnel year, a PY, mm-hmm. we used to call it back in the day. Those people are assigned to the Lopez plant. I'm just trying to understand, can you bring in outside people, not outside, but other county employees to work on the plant if you needed them to, that would bring these hours up significantly? Or is this just kind of a matter of, you know, through attrition, people retire, people leave. While you're doing the hiring process, you might lose a few hours during the year.
Okay. I have an idea. You have an idea? Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
I mean, we're not going to see this number rise. I mean, we have control order, I guess is what I'm saying, just by virtue of the number of people that are assigned to the treatment plant or the
right. inmates. We're not increasing the actual number of staff. What's mm-hmm. happened is what they're working on has changed, okay. and it's been a transition as we didn't just on one day say, you're no longer working on wastewater things. It's been a slow transition, so gradually they've been working less on say this country club, and that's where they would bill their hours. So gotcha. Now they're okay. billing all their hours Perfect. To Lopez. So you're in effect, you've gained like a half a man, or by getting rid of those, their hours are now going to be reflected solely on Zone 3 budget. So that's probably why there's just a slight increase, because we were in transition
mm-hmm.
this yeah. last year.
Is that possibly why we're seeing the capital projects being completed so in a more timely fashion, perhaps, and the O&M increases are going to lead for a more efficient operation of the plant, so which possibly could lead to less need for capital projects in the long term, so which is why perhaps the capital outlay is 505 rather than the 550. Is that, I mean, is that the internal thought discussion?
Partly for that, and partly because, as you noted, we reorganized. We we realized that a study really belongs over in this category and this here, so we tried to make that right, because basically we just recategorized the same projects. But I would expect that, yes, we are going to spend more time doing preventative maintenance, some of the stuff that we had to table for a long time, especially with respect to the distribution system. And we have an aging, we're into what we might call the aging plant. So it's important that we continue to do preventative stuff and stay on top of that so that we have less things like the strainer projects and some of the things that we had to address, which, you know, failed for various reasons. So, yeah.
So my only other question, probably for Christy, maybe for Jill as well, but was there any comments or concerns brought up by the Finance Committee or the TAC that haven't already been addressed in the budget?
They had a few questions, and it was mainly on clarifying some of the projects, and I did answer those questions. It had to do mainly with page 15 of the budget book, which lists the capital and special projects. They wanted to just see maybe in future years a little more information about the projects, maybe how long is this project, how much in total are we going to budget. That way they know from year to year kind of what to expect. So it was more in terms of additional information they might like to see in the budget. So I can't think there was any other concerns that needed to be brought before the advisory committee. But I don't know how much they share with you folks, so.
Go ahead, Brad.
I had one more, Christy, sure. And this is down in the weeds, and I tried to send an email to you today.
You did? Oh, no.
Well, actually, I sent it to Straith, is it?
Oh, yes.
And she was going to send it to you, but.
Okay, I didn't see it by the afternoon. End of the day. I'm sorry.
Yep. So if you can't answer it, I know, because this is really in the weeds.
Okay, I'll try.
So page 13, I just noted that's the estimated billing summary for state water wheeling costs.
Okay.
And being the representative from Avila Beach CSD, I noted that our state wheeling prices are essentially or closely doubling from 2017-18 to 2018-19. I presumed perhaps that was due to drought buffer. The district purchased a drought buffer a couple of years ago. Am I warm or
this is something I'm not totally familiar with. I'm still learning myself how the wheeling is calculated. So I have my budget workbook with me. Let me look at that and see if I can figure out before the end of the evening.
Yeah,
get you an answer, respond. You want me to just send you an email?
Yeah, we can. I mean, it's not huge dollars, but
okay.
It just struck me as you sort of look
caught
for variances.
Yeah,
on differences and
okay.
And I was thinking that the only thing different may be a drought buffer, but I think we did the drought buffer starting January of 2017, so that's been in place, or maybe that crossed. Two fiscal years.
We've had drought buffer for longer than that.
Okay.
Much longer than since January 2017. I think that it was Oceana recently purchased drought buffer.
Am I?
Avila Beach has had drought buffer.
I've lost a year already somewhere in the process. Yeah, probably.
So I'll let you know about that one.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
I know last year we had this, sorry, Jim, but we had the pH suppression thing that was a big problem out there at the plant. And do you think that if that gets under control, the hours might drop?
I think the result you're going to see there is in less maintenance on our equipment, because the scaling that was happening as a result of not being able to suppress the pH caused all the, us having to do some expensive, like hiring a crane to clean out these strainers. I mean, high expenses needed to do maintenance. I think you're definitely going to see that go down. And we're still seeing how it's working, but so far it's been good. Yeah, I would expect we'll shift from maintenance. Maybe there'll be more maybe more preventative maintenance as opposed to
breakdown. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Jim?
And then is the spillway assessment, is that in here or not?
That's right. No, I did not see it on the 18-19 proposed budget. it must not have been, we must not have anticipated needing anything additional. It just came up mid-year. We're going to deal with it. And it is what it is. When we do our 17-18 true up of the billings for you, for your agencies, that's where we would address it. We would show it as an unbudgeted item, and here's what we've actually spent on it. And there, I would imagine, be enough savings from other areas, other budgeted items that would cover that.
So that would be in this year's budget rather than next?
Well, no, this is just the 18, the, oh wait, this year meaning 17-18?
Yes.
I'm sorry, you pointed to the book. Yes, it would be in this year's 17-18 budget.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Jim? So, Christy, as a follow-up to Brad's question,
okay.
I'm kind of wondering whether within CSA 12, San Miguelito is being assessed a similar increase in wheeling costs? So when you look into
that.
It, you could check that.
And I will include you in that response. Okay. Welcome. Anybody else?
All right. Any other questions? All right. We actually need to have endorsed this budget, the 18-19 budget. So we need a motion.
I'll move that we endorse it.
All right. Jim is so moved. Second? Jim's have first and seconded. Any other questions? Any more clarification? Hearing none? Any other public comment? No? All right, all in favor. Do we need a voice vote on this? No? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. So moved. All right, now Jill, declaration of surplus water.
All right, so every year for the contracts, we declare surplus water. Surplus water is based on the difference between what the agencies actually took and their entitlement and the difference between the downstream releases of 4,200 acre feet and what we actually released. The total this year, and this is estimated because I did not have the March deliveries, so estimated at 1,160 acre feet. The cost of the water was calculated by Christy at $66.71. And so you can see on the table that we take all the surplus generated, and then it is made available to each agency based on their percentage of the contract. So we had 1,160 acre feet of surplus, and that would mean that Rio Grande has 586 acre feet available, and then we multiplied that by the cost, and you can see the costs there related to the surplus water. Surplus water is when the agency takes all their surplus water, they take it in terms of a credit, and so there really is no financial impact other than that it becomes part of your credit. Am I correct, Christy? Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to catch you off guard. It is. So, I plan to take this item to the Board of Supervisors on May 15th. So what you have in front of you is basically a replica of what I plan, the board letter that I plan to take to the Board of Supervisors on May 15th. And so today we're looking to have you endorse the recommendation that is in provided on this staff report.
Any questions for Jill?
Yeah.
Move approval.
We have a
public comment.
We have a motion to approve the recommendation. We have a second.
I can second that. Subject.
And now we have any public comment or any other discussion? I just have a question where it says and receive an update on the low reservoir response plan.
Yes.
So, since we're reviewing that starting tomorrow,
pretty much what we're recommending to the board is that there is this surplus, and that's actually an estimate, right? No.
Yeah, it'll be adjusted for final end of year water accounting.
Okay.
It might be 20 acre feet off. I actually estimate, I use what you did last year for month of March. It'll be pretty close to that.
Okay. So
the LRRP update that I will be providing is in your staff report here. It's just a small little section, what I basically told you earlier this evening, that you know, we've been in the LRP since 2015 and that we're in the process of revising it. Yeah. And in the staff report here, it gives, again, the timeline to the Board of Supervisors that they might expect to see this item back regarding the LRP in August or September.
Yeah. Okay.
And this was for convenience of not doing another board report, just combining these two, the surplus and the update on the
correct. Because for the last couple years we were actually in the LRRP, so I was we are required by the contract, even if the LRRP is in place and it really doesn't mean anything, we still have to declare surplus water.
Right.
So last year, because we were and the year before that, we were just almost out of the LRRP last year, and the year before that we were actually fully into the LRRP. I declared surplus water, and then I would give an update. And so as it turned out, we're back. I still needed to do an update because we're planning on revising it. So that was the purpose of including the both items.
Okay. Good. Okay. Any other questions or discussion? All right. Do we need a voice vote on this? We're good with the all in favor? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, thanks, Joe and Christy. Okay, that covers the agenda. We have a couple of future agenda items on here. Does anyone from the committee have any other future agenda items that they'd like to see on the?
I'm just curious. It looks like under future agenda items, we had cloud seeding, and we did have an update on that tonight. So I don't know if we need to keep that on that item or just keep it in the informational area.
I think we would just get an update about it. We probably won't need to. We can have it on there. It'll be quick.
Sure.
Yeah.
I thought I would just leave it on there. So when we do have an update, you know, Ray can come back one of us could present that information on his behalf.
Yeah.
After June.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that works.
Ray, I had a question I've thought about afterwards, but Santa Barbara County's been doing this for how long?
Yeah, Santa Barbara County has been doing this since 1981. So, yeah, and they've been doing it every year since then. So.
Okay, thank you. Any other items you guys want to see on the future agenda?
The only question I would have, and it's not specifically a Zone 3 topic, but the cities in the region are starting to talk through the Central Coast Blue, the groundwater the regional groundwater basically
sustainability
programs.
Yeah,
I don't know if what the county effort assistance is, or how familiar you are in the participation with Pismo and Arroyo Grande and Grover on that. So I don't know if we need an update here or just some information. Make sure that the information is being passed through the county, because I think you're providing information on the modeling and so forth. If I'm remembering that correctly, but I might not be.
You so you're in Zone 3's involvement. Kind of with regard to the RGSP or Central Coast Blue, is that you funded a groundwater modeling study. Is that what that was called? Santa Maria Groundwater Basin Modeling. And so a while back, we came back and said, you know, it's going to cost $117,000. And so that was like Zone 3 share of that. And so I thought maybe Dan Heimel might be here and he could give an update on what's the progress on that. Because while it supports the RGSP, it also could potentially support Sigma. It could potentially support the HCP. It has a lot of value in general for Zone 3. So I don't know what that, it might be a good idea to put that on your agenda to see what their progress is.
That'd be a really good one.
Yeah, I know the cities have all had presentations, but I don't know about obviously the ag and the districts. So probably haven't seen as much information, so it might be appropriate to have a presentation
about,
at this level.
You talking about from Dan or from Central Coast Blue?
So it could be a combination. So, I mean, I think Central Coast Blue, Ben Fine gave the presentation at our council, but I think a modeling update from Dan might be appropriate as well.
Right, to tell him, give the status on where they are in that modeling. I have not heard. I know that... we were just wondering when they were going to bill us and how that was all going to work. So I'm assuming that they're underway. I just haven't heard anything recently.
I've noted it on the agenda for a future agenda item, and I'll reach out to Dan and see when would be a good time for him to come and speak with the committee.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I would also support, you know, getting at some of the key moments of or milestones with Central Coast Blue. You know, it's not 100% funded or related to Zone 3, but I just think, I know there's a lot of people at home that watch this late at night on television that will really want to see this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, a little bit of jest, but also I think just getting it out there, because it is a, having worked with other groundwater replenishment projects in previous lifetimes, it's the PR of it and the discussion of it, I think, is really important, and I know that they've been stressing that, so... I would certainly appreciate, you know, 15-minute update, again, at key milestones.
See what I can do.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other suggestions? Okay. Hearing none, I think we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Go ahead.